Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's episode 284 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. How you doing? Happy Memorial Day to you. What a great day for a podcast and an offseason that hasn't even started for most of the NHL, or has started for most of the NHL, but has been started for the Flyers since about, I don't know, St. Patrick's Day? What's going on? It's Drew Papsky along with Jeff and Doyle, and we are so excited here to talk to you about Flyers offseason news. I mean, really, it's going to be a riveting show, people. So much has happened in the world of the Flyers, if you pay attention on Twitter and follow the idiots. But Jeff and Doyle, how's your rainy Memorial Day weekend going? Isn't this great?
It's like, it could be better. Could be much better.
Can honor those that have fought and died for this great country so we could extend our imperialistic views overseas so we could have safe hockey games to watch and Canada could act like they're better than us, but they're implicit in all of it. They're complicit in all of it, I should say. You know, you had the easiest beach on D-Day, but it's okay. We won't hold that against you, Canada. You've let us do whatever we wanted and joined us, so don't act like you're better than us, Canada. Enjoy your Memorial Day. Enjoy your barbecue out in the rain, whatever else you're doing here on the East Coast. But as for us, today we're going to talk a little bit about some Flyers salary cap news. Really not really news, just kind of reviewing things we've been talking about and hinting at all season. And also talking about what the Flyers can possibly do in the unrestricted free agent market or possible trade market this season. Because a month from now, the NHL playoffs should be just about getting ready to wind down. And then we have a couple of dates to look forward to in July with the expansion draft and the NHL draft as it is. So I'm not going to ask you guys what you learned. But are you guys ready to do a deep dive on some salary cap numbers? By deep dive, I mean a BSB deep dive, which will probably require like three edits later because we'll fuck it up.
An accidental deletion of the episode.
Jeff's just waiting to go to brunch right now. He just wants to get out of here. He needs a Bloody Mary. How hungover are you, buddy?
Can we look at heat maps? Well, look, let's do some heat maps with a salary cap.
Yeah, do the heat maps of Jeff's body. It's all just on his forehead right now because he's a hangover.
Oh, his liver.
I think I got more hungover as the morning's gone on.
Yeah, because you got less drunk. That's what happens. I've been there.
Yeah, most likely.
It's all right, guys. We're a family show here. We are pro drinkers. speaking of which, while I have your guys' attention, those you haven't turned it off yet, if you would like to support me in my return to the stage, I'll be at Helium Comedy Club in Philadelphia on Tuesday, June 1st. That's tomorrow if you're listening to this on the day it comes out. 8 p.m. show. You can check me out on social media at Drew Papsky for information on that. It's going to be, I think, capacity-limited show. It's for the Phillies Funniest Competition. I haven't done it in a few years, getting back after it. I'm just leaving it off with that. I know we got some local people that might want to see me be funny and not talk about the Flyers, so go ahead. I'm going to fucking crush it, but regardless, I probably won't. So if you want to support me, come on out. Anyway, that being said,
if you bring cash, Doyle and I will be selling tomatoes at the door.
Yes, and also
we're going to be planted booers in the crowd.
There'll be enough regular booers. You guys don't need to be plants. it's good. It should be a good time, though, and I mean, I'll have more shows this summer for sure. But anyway, as things open back up, looking ahead, though, I just wanted to lead off with, we talked about this multiple times throughout last offseason because, you know, we're so smart, and also this regular season because there wasn't much to talk about. The Flyers have some dead cap coming off the books. Although it's not a lot, it will, I mean, obviously, with the amount of cap space the Flyers had this season, which was less than $1 million, this is going to help. One David Schlemko, who you remember for probably...
name.
You know, playing what, three games maybe in a Flyers uniform? I don't even remember.
I don't even know if he played one.
He was definitely the seventh defenseman for a while and got moved down to the Phantoms, but I think he played one maybe. I don't even know. But regardless, he's going to be off the books. And also, one Flyers fan favorite, the whipping boy, the unforgiven, Andrew McDonald, finally coming off the books for his buyout. So two buyouts are coming off the books, which equal to about $2.6 million or $2.5 million. That's my math for you. But you have to remember, too, Scott Laughton got a $700,000 raise, so that will mitigate some of that, which will be nice. Seeing those two guys come off the books is good because the Flyers do need to clear some cap space. Now, obviously, Brian Elliott, if they don't re-sign him, he won't be on the books. Alex Lyon's cheap-ass contract won't be on the books. But the Flyers do have three RFAs to sign, four if you count Carson Turinski. The three RFAs are Sanheim, Patrick, and you have to sign Carter Hart. Or also, I forgot, Sam Morin.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Morin, too. But, I mean, that once again, his tweener life wasn't making it as hard. The three main RFAs are Sanheim, Hart, and you know, Nolan Patrick. So I guess I would start off talking about these. What do you guys think is going to happen with Hart, Sanheim, and Patrick? Those are really the main focus of what I want to talk about. Obviously, Turinsky and Morin could still be a part of this organization. I believe they will be, but I don't think their contract's going to be that impactful to our final cap hit comparing to the fact that we have three full-time starters that I just talked about. Or will Sanheim be packaged? Or Patrick? I think Hart is the one that's here to stay. Obviously, he's the big one.
Yeah.
But Sanheim and Patrick have been floated around in trade rumors, both realistic ones and non-realistic ones. So we got to sign him first, though.
Hart, you'll probably get a bridge deal out of, mostly because of his, I guess, down year that he had, even though it's been a weird in these trying times, you know.
Yeah. Also, the team kind of helped him out. Maybe that was a whole. Maybe Fletcher was like, listen, play like shit in front of him. We give him a cheap contract. We go for the cup in 2 years. Maybe that's what he did.
But like you said, Sanheim, I don't know if Sanheim really gets much of a raise. Maybe a little bit of a bump in pay, but he also, I think, could be someone that you trade, either him or Myers, honestly. Yeah. I feel like those two, if you're going to upgrade your defense with someone such as Ryan Ellis and or Seth Jones, you're definitely going to be having to put out probably one of your defensemen.
You got to put out. Hear that, ladies? So in general, we'll get to the Seth Jones and Ryan Ellis thing in a second. But, yeah, I think Sanheim. So what do we see for Sanheim then, Doyle? If you think we're going to trade him, what's his contract going to look like? Because if you're looking at what he makes right about now, he is making that 3.25. This was his first extension after his entry-level contract expired. He's not going to be making much more than that, right?
I mean, I would, four-ish,
maybe?
Yeah, maybe like 4.2, maybe $1 million in pay bump.
Jeff, what do you think? Do you think that's fair? He's making 3.25 right now.
Yeah, I think that all three of them actually played themselves out of any significant money this year. So I think, honestly, if Patrick doesn't go for the league minimum, he's gone. I think Sanheim, they'll offer, but if, you know, he's not interested, maybe they trade his rights. And I think Carter Hart definitely stays.
Well, you think Patrick's league minimum as a 500K?
Whatever. I mean, listen, he was minus 30 in sheltered minutes this year.
He's
if he comes into negotiations asking
gonna
for
get,
any
gonna
sort of money,
least, he's going to get at least $1.5 million, I think, dude. But the amount of
I wouldn't give him. He hasn't shown me that he can play hockey.
He makes less than $1 million a year right now. I think they're going to give him probably his cap hit with the signing bonus, and they'll probably give him incentives for how many games he plays. And for
yeah, I'm not interested. I would go for someone else.
Just get giving up on a second round pick already.
Well, maybe second overall pick, and maybe if he was more busy with hockey and less busy shucking mattresses,
there it is.
It would stink.
Oh my God, it's the dumbest.
Is that the toxins of your liver talking?
If you said that with an actual legitimate argument, I would actually listen to it. You already had that he played like shit, and then you just followed up with the stupid mattress thing that you're trying
mattress
to
mattress huckster.
He also
never posted,
took a whole season off.
On social
I mean,
media.
There's the COVID stuff, the head stuff. I mean, it's all there. I think he's going to get at least, I think, $1.5 million, $1.25 million for like a 2 or 3 year show me deal, maybe. Because he's still so young.
I also don't know if Chuck Fletcher likes him. You don't know if Chuck Fletcher likes him. Maybe Chuck Fletcher wants to get rid of him.
That's
wasn't
possible.
His pick.
I mean, no. I mean, that's
they
totally
haven't
true.
Really shown that though yet.
He's 22 years old though. He's still so young, and like Sean Couturier,
well, they
a long
can't
time to
blast
develop
him
well.
In the ass. On
yeah, but like
they can't be like we hate him. We're just dealing with him because he has a mush brain.
Yeah, but the like NHL insiders have even said that they like Pierre LeBrun was talking to someone that said that he doesn't believe that they're ready to move on. Nolan Patrick might be ready to move on from the Flyers, but he doesn't believe that. The franchise is ready to move on from Nolan Patrick.
He hasn't really gotten a full good look yet. He's been mired with injuries early in his career, a la Patrick Sharp. I don't think it's going to behoove the Flyers to cut bait on him unless they get some. I'm not saying he's untouchable, but unless they get something good in return, I don't think you just get rid of him to get rid of him. Personally,
all right, then trade Sanheim for pennies. Let's
I
call
think
it
he
day.
Could be a sweetener in some sort of deal.
He definitely could because he has that, you know, that second overall pick. And he had, I mean, he was at one point, he was considered the first overall pick until Nico Hischier took over. I mean, I don't see the Flyers parting ways with him unless it's like something, like, I'm not saying they can't, but it has to be for something substantial, which the Flyers may very well do. But, and Patrick is a piece they could move. I don't think they're going to just let him walk, though. Without getting something, there's not going to be like a salary cap. There's no reason for a salary cap dump. Number one, number two, he could potentially still serve as a third line center on this team, you know, or playing on the wing. Who knows? Maybe he'll be like Shen, just go between. But he's part of the team, and I think he's going to make between $1 and $2 million a year. Maybe some show me deal, and then we'll figure it out from there. Carter Hart, is going to definitely get signed.
Why get a player like Braden Shen when you can just, and Doyle knows what I'm talking about, go and get Braden Shen?
Oh, God. Yeah, this is like the off season of bring back all of the old Flyers.
Well, yeah, Braden Coburn's only 36. We could bring him back. He's a UFA this year. He's a top
I've already
four D
seen
we need.
The Flyers need to bring back Wayne Simmons again. Braden Shen's available. Oh, bring him back since he won a Stanley Cup now and knows how to do that.
I think Jeff Carter's at the end of his deal if you want to get 37
year old. He's got one more year left.
Oh, does he? Darn.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember like 2021, 2022 seems so long ago. I remember when Carter and Richards signed those big extensions with the Flyers. I'm like, man, it's going to be the 2020s. I'm going to be like in my 30s by the time Richards and Carter retire as Flyers. I mean, I always was a guy who thought Carter should be traded, but I thought Richards would retire as a Flyer, to be honest. I mean, I don't think I'm crazy for thinking that either, based on the fact he was a captain and cemented himself in this lineup. But yeah, what a difference 7 years makes, huh? Actually, close to 10 years now. It is 10 years, isn't it? Damn.
Getting almost, old. Yeah. A couple months. But
yeah, so Travis Sanheim, though, we think he's going to be signed, but like I think, like I said, like that maybe $1 million bump, like Doyle said, I agree with that. I also think Carter Hart, what about his number? That's going to be a stickler. It's going to be a bridge deal, you said, Doyle. I think that's definitely
probably more than likely, I would say.
Few years. He's making less than $1 million right now. I think he's going to get, what, like 3, 4, 5? I mean, looking at what similar, goalies have produced, he has shown the ability to be the number one stud goaltender, but he also has had a shaky year this year.
You have to think, too, like the cap limit has kind of driven prices down on players getting, like, bigger numbers right now, too.
True. And the Flyers definitely need to be cap conscious, not just moving forward with the other RFAs coming off the books in a couple of years, but if they are going to make a splash this year via trade or free agency, and they can't just expect Seattle to help them out by taking Voracek or JBR off their hands. They have to be very careful with what they do and what they sign. Farabee's up after next year. He's the biggest name probably that's going to be up next year. So I think that's something they should definitely consider. No one else really.
Well, look at it this way. Jordan Binnington, I mean, he has a Stanley Cup, but he's also a young goalie. He's at the
he's
end of his 2 year
like 27.
Four. Yeah, well, he's at the end of his 2 year 4-4 deal. He just signed a new big one. And Mackenzie Blackwood is making 2.8 for the Devils. And I feel like Hart gets compared to Blackwood a lot. So I mean 3-5 seems reasonable for like 2 or 3 years.
I think he might get 4 just because
Chuck Fletcher has the confidence he says he does in him. There's no reason not to give him a little bit more now.
Yeah, just so you want to sweeten the deal. Yeah, like, yo, man, we know you got this. And also a little confidence booster. $4 million, 4.25. Sure, why not? Also, the Flyers do have to consider the fact that after next year, Claude Giroux and Sean Couturier will be unrestricted free agents as well, which will clear some cap space or possibly open up more, because Sean Couturier is going to need a pretty big raise north of his 4.33333333 repeating. I hate those decimals. So that's something to consider as well. But overall, though, I think these RFAs will be signed, and it won't be that hard. However, Sanheim and Patrick, I think, will be signed also with trade-friendly deals, just because that's the nature of the business right now. And the Flyers are at the point now where they have to decide, like, are we going to move forward and try to go for it with this team, or are we going to retool around a lot of the young guys and get rid of some of the veterans? And that's really the question that Chuck Fletcher is going to be asking himself and has been asking himself since he got the job, and it's going to become more apparent with the UFA status of Claude Giroux looming and everything else. Although, Doyle, you have a rumor apparently about Claude Giroux. You want to share with the class?
Claude Giroux is going to waive his no movement clause to get traded to the Ottawa Senators.
Wow. Where'd you hear this, Doyle? Did someone like Bob McKenzie, who actually just retired, right? Did someone like, Bob McKenzie didn't retire. I'm sorry. That was, what's his name? The other guy retired. Did Darren Dreger tweet this? Did John Buccigross? Like, is this some reputable source? Who said this? At Flyers Poop?
I think it was just made up by the writers in Ottawa, but one of, like, some dude that works for TSN.
Steve Glynn.
Yeah, he's like a big Leafs fan.
Yeah.
Like, talked about it on like a podcast or something like that with them.
It was like, I don't remember the exact quote, but it was very innocuous. Like, he's building a house in Ottawa and he likes living there. And well, then I think from that,
it was like he lives here in the off season. His wife is from there and he has family there. Yeah. So obviously he wants to play for the Senators.
That's why the Flyers are trading for Darnell Nurse, because he's a relative of Donovan McNabb, and Donovan McNabb was an Eagle. I love when they do this stuff. They pull out all these things out of their ass.
Worked for John Tavares. Gets to go sleep in his race car bed at home between Maple Leafs games.
Yeah, and they still have to beat the fucking Canadiens in Game 7 now.
Yeah, I did see that. Isn't it weird to think, I haven't watched much of the Stanley Cup playoffs, but the Montreal Canadiens are about to move to the second round after they were the last seed in the East last year. I mean, they're playing in the Canadian division, which is arguably way weaker than the division we were in this year, but they are one win away from going to the second round, just to show you how underranked that team was last year. They gave us a little bit of a fit, and the Flyers also didn't play to their potential, but still.
The Canadiens have been unbeatable since A1 Erik Gustafsson has come into the lineup.
You're welcome.
Who's the lineup?
Now, I believe it was, we won't name the beat writer, but his name starts with Sam and ends with Carcitti. He was pointing out that the Flyers could have drafted Cole Caulfield.
Oh, yeah, but they passed on him twice.
They chose not to.
Once again.
Yeah.
Hindsight is 2020.
He did it for somebody else, too. He was the year, I think it was Pasternak. He was like, oh, the Flyers could have picked Pasternak, but they went with Sanheim instead. And it's the first time in the comments everybody was like, so did 24 other teams pass on pass. So shut up.
Yeah. You know how many people passed on, like, what was it, Henrik Zetterberg?
Yeah.
Was he like the sixth or seventh round or something
like
that?
A seventh round.
Yeah, I think he was seventh round.
Yes.
Joe Pavelski was a sixth round pick.
People passed on Tom Brady too. Come on, man. Like it happens in sports, and like there's so many other teams that do it. It's so hard. It's a crapshoot a lot of times. You have to have good scouting, but whatever.
Yeah, look at if it's a crapshoot. Look at the Flyers, like draft picks in general from Ron Hextall so far. Yeah. German Rubstov, who was like a first round pick, is playing in the KHL next year. He's already signed a deal. And the Flyers contract to just hold his rights like they did with Mikhail Vorobiev.
Yeah, I heard that Rubtsov was silently coming back to America to play for the Phantoms.
From who? Is your KGB?
KGB.
Going back to the... Bringing it back, boys. It's summer. It's summer series. No, it's not yet. We're still talking hockey. But so looking at the Flyers, how they're going to address their offseason needs, I think if we all put our heads together, we could all agree that the Flyers' most glaring need, although they could use a top six scorer, is really they need a top defenseman to either complement Provorov or be another pairing leader with Provorov to complement the top four, whether that means they play with Provorov or they just, you know, have someone else. And Dougie Hamilton is an unrestricted free agent, and he is the big he is the biggest unrestricted free agent as far as youth versus talent versus cap hit that you're going to see. He's only 28 years old right now, and you know he's going to be available after Carolina just was able to dispatch the Nashville Predators. He's going to be available after this playoff run. There's also a lot of old heads in there like Alexander Edler, Mark Stahl, Goligoski, Hjalmarsson. These are guys the Flyers are going to want to stay away from. But what do you guys think about Dougie Hamilton? I have thought he has been very well traveled for such a young defenseman. I know he's more offensive minded. Is he what the Flyers need to be a minutes eater and actually be a solid two-way defenseman, not just an offensive guy, to maybe play with Provorov or lead his own pair?
He does score a ton of goals. I know that. I think he's like, I forget the time frame that somebody used, but he's been like one of the top goal-scoring defensemen in the NHL. I don't know, though, because I've never really like paid attention to him a ton. I mean, obviously, the Flyers haven't played the Hurricanes at all this year, and I haven't really focused on a ton of other hockey except for kind of the playoffs, and even then, I haven't really watched the Hurricanes.
Mm-hmm. He was also in Calgary for a few years, so you wouldn't really see him that much.
Yeah, but, you know, from what I've read is, like, he's big, but he doesn't really use his body.
Sanheim.
Yeah, so it's kind of, I don't know enough about him to kind of say I'm 100% in on signing him.
I remember my first impressions of him when he was with Boston as a young guy. I was like, wow, this guy's like good. He's like, he's fast. He can play. But then like I got rid of him. I thought they were stupid. But then Calgary got rid of him. I thought they were. Why do they keep getting rid of him? He's like, that girl's 31 years old. Like, wow, why aren't you married yet? Like, what happened? Then you realize, like, oh, that's why. You're crazy. I mean, I don't know.
I'll keep up with the Hurricanes. Are they not going to re-sign him, or is this just all conjecture?
It's just for the fun of it, Jeff.
So, no, here's the thing.
If I was Dougie Hamilton, I wouldn't leave Carolina. Carolina is primed now. I feel like they're set up to be good for a couple of years. So, like, why would you want to leave and come to a team like the Flyers that's like not in shambles, but there's so many more moves to make to be as good as the Hurricanes are now?
Well, here's the thing. Apparently reports say that his agent says they could still hammer out a deal, but like I don't think he's committed. He hasn't really committed to staying.
That's a posturing.
Yeah. We know that, but
like,
you know, it's
Nolan Patrick picking up another agent.
Jeff, it's Memorial Day weekend. The Flyers been out of it for a few months now. We have to talk about that. All right. So and I'm not making this up. This is definitely a possibility because there will be a lot of suitors and, you know, for Dougie Hamilton.
Ryan Suter?
Yes, Ryan Suter. If he chooses to go play with Zach Parise, I'm just kidding. If he chooses to pursue free agency, he will definitely make a good amount of money, and a lot of teams will be offering and sending him. I mean, he makes his cap hit right now is $5.75 million. You figure he's going to be making a little bit more than that.
Yeah, he's definitely going to get
seven.
A pay bump.
Yeah, we're looking at least $1 million probably for him. And he might be looking for longevity, and I don't know what the Hurricanes cap situation is, but you know, it's definitely something to think about. But I'm not 100% sold on him. But the Flyers do have to make a move now. Besides Dougie Hamilton, there is another name that's been bandied about, and that's someone that said they will be entering free agency next season when their contract's up, and that is former Nashville Predators top pick Seth Jones, who's now in Columbus, and he said he will be pursuing free agency next year. Seth Jones is, in my opinion, the better of the two. He's a much more efficient two-way defender. He is offensively capable. He does eat a lot of minutes. He is still young. Him with Provorov would basically, like, that just makes my head spin. What do you guys think about that possibility? But the Flyers would have to trade for him this year. And also know that he's going to stay for more than a year and be able to sign, like, you know, hey, listen, we're trading for him. We have to extend him because he only has a year left. You don't want to part with a Nolan Patrick or a Sanheim or Myers or any of those guys and draft picks or Konechny just to have him for a year.
If I had to pick, I'd pick him over Dougie Hamilton.
100%.
That's who I kind of want. I want the Flyers to trade for my two top defenseman would be Ryan Ellis or him. If they could somehow figure out a package to get either one of them here, I'm all for it. I mean, granted, yes, you have to sign Seth Jones to a long-term deal after this season, but I mean, as you've seen right now, he seems like obviously he's worth it. And that's the other plus with Ryan Ellis is that if you trade for him, he's signed for like another like 5 years or something like that.
Yeah, you have two players that came out of Nashville. So that's how you know they're good defensemen. Because
they drafted.
Three defensemen. Even without Barry Trotz, they're still figuring it out. Seth Jones right now, look at his cap hit right here. I just lost the page. His cap hit right now, he had a six-year, $32 million contract, so about $5.4 million. You know he's going to be making more than that as well. But when his extension, and I think the Flyers, if they were able to get rid of JVR or Voracek, could really open up the door to pay some. He would just take some of their money and add it on to what he already has.
The only reason I wouldn't be interested in Seth Jones is if he's not just saying he wants to test free agency because he hates Columbus. You know, like if the Flyers shell out all of this to get him for a year, and it's not even a year where they're like built to contend, then I feel like it's just a waste of everything.
Well, that's why they would like hopefully sign him.
Yeah, like I wouldn't be interested in Chuck Fletcher trading for him unless Seth Jones was like, I really just don't want to play in Columbus ever again, and I will sign an extension with you guys.
He has to play for Tortorella.
Well, yeah, that's what's even more surprising was that they fired Tortorella, and Seth Jones is still like, no, I'm going to test free agency. So, like, I don't know if that's necessarily. I feel like that hampers his trade value for this year, unless it's a team that's like ready to go and just need Seth Jones to finish the lineup.
Yeah, I mean, he would be, but I just think. Like Doyle said, of him or Hamilton, he is the guy that I would want.
Oh, I'd rather have Seth Jones over Dougie Hamilton as well.
Now, Ryan Ellis is a little older, but he has a longer contract, right? He still will be on the books if the Flyers were able to trade for him. But Ryan Ellis also, we say Ryan Ellis, like, oh, the Flyers can trade for him, but there's going to be other teams that are going to be looking at him as well. Ryan Ellis is signed through 2026, 2027. His cap hits at 6.25. By the time that's over, he'll be in his mid-30s. So the Flyers, I think Ryan Ellis is the move if the Flyers think they're going to really make a go for it in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
I think Seth Jones gives them more flexibility for retooling if they do part with the core of Giroux and Voracek and all that stuff. But both
also, it's going to be easier to trade with a Western Conference team because when the NHL goes back to how it was, the Blue Jackets are in your division, which, I mean, how many times do you see teams within the division trading unless it's Lou Lamoriello-crafted trades?
Yeah. So, I think it should be Ellis or Jones if they're going to make a trade for a defenseman. There could be someone we don't even think about now.
Just where you could trade, like, speaking of Nashville, you could trade Jake Voracek to Nashville for either of the underperforming Ryan Johansson or Matt Duchene, because apparently they want to move on from both of them now.
Oh, just swap top six scorers and figure out?
Yeah, just swap awful contracts.
Yeah, you could do that. Why not? So as far as... other unrestricted free agents.
Oh, there's a name that I like. Alec Martinez. I wouldn't mind him either.
Yeah, but does he really provide that top pairing defense like role though?
I think if you're the Flyers, you honestly should be looking at two defensemen to fill out your top two and top four.
I have the unrestricted free agent list coming up for this year. A couple names you might like on here. Braden Coburn. No, I'm just kidding.
Bring him back.
Kaká.
Is Braden Shen on that list?
Zach Bogosian's on the list, Doyle. There you go. You get a little Zach Bogosian action, or you can get a little Travis Hamonic, Cody Ceci, okay? Luca Spezza at the age of 31, holy shit. And Luke Shen. We could bring everyone back. But yeah, I think it's a good point. The Flyers maybe could be looking at two. Brandon Montour, there you go. Assuming that they actually would need to, if they do trade for a top defenseman, they're going to need to part with someone. So I think Myers and or Sanheim, maybe a Myers and Konechny, a Sanheim and Konechny pick part for Seth Jones. Maybe a first-round pick and like a Konechny and a Myers, throw them out there, or a Patrick and a Myers. And then you bring in Seth Jones and you sign another one of these other free agents to fill in the bottom.
I would even do like, this may not be as flashy, but I wouldn't even be mad at if they did something like signing Alec Martinez and like Adam Larson.
But then you would have to like hopefully are you then like trading a Myers or Sanheim with something else to get like another scorer though? Because at the point that just you're going to sign those two and like that's a lot of defensemen.
Well, yeah,
they would need to have. I mean, if you're going to have a scorer.
If I'm signing, well, those two are like Adam Larson's a pretty good just defenseman, and Alec Martinez is just like a good minute eating veteran.
Stanley Cup winning veteran.
Yeah.
True. With the Kings, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Scored the series winner.
Look at you, Doyle. Goddamn almanac.
But if I sign those two guys, I'm definitely looking to trade one of Myers or Sanheim to get some sort of scoring help.
Yeah. Going to be a tough job for old Chucky boy, huh?
Yeah, glad not my job.
So I don't know. I think obviously Seth Jones is the pipe dream, but you know there's going to be a lot of other teams and a lot of their fans, a lot of their teams in this league already thinking about how they're going to get Seth Jones on their team. But that, after hearing about the fact that he's going to test free agency next summer, is definitely something that caught my eye and made me start thinking about what could possibly happen. But I don't know, man. The Stanley Cup playoffs are moving on. Have you guys watched it all? I've admittedly watched like less than 4 minutes total of the whole thing. Right now, we got Boston up to their series with a win over the Islanders after the Islanders knocked the Penguins out. You know, Boston knocked the Caps out. Carolina beat the Predators. It's weird just seeing the Carolina and Nashville playing in the first round of the playoffs this weird year. So Carolina and Tampa Bay are going to play each other.
I'm going to watch that series. That should be a good one.
Winnipeg swept the Oilers. We'll have to have Mike Bond on soon to talk about that. Hint, hint. And then you just mentioned this, Doyle, that the Habs and the Leafs are going to be playing a Game 7, which should be exciting. Vegas won a Game 7, and then Colorado swept the Blues. So it is a little bit of a different feel this year. Just the fact that like our division bracket the Caps, Islanders, Bruins, and Penguins. That's such a strong four-team bracket, and they only one of them is going to make it out into the conference finals, which is kind of sad.
Yeah.
That's like the – I mean, I know it's the way they went with it this year because of COVID, but that's like – that's pretty shitty as far as from a viewership standpoint. Hopefully they don't – I mean, I don't like the fact that you have to play in your division to get out because then you have some of the – I mean, this Islanders-Bruins may be the best series.
Yeah, I think that and the Vegas have series.
Yeah, it's
really,
gonna be
I think
good.
The, like I don't know about like I don't know. I kind of just want the Jets to go to the next round, but I feel like all for those three matchups, I think are really good because Carolina has been kind of a gangbuster all year, and they're playing the former champs, and then Boston. The Isles have had Boston's number this season, and Boston just went up 1-0 on them. But they also spotted two games to the Penguins and then won four straight. And then the Avs and Golden Knights are just like, you know, the last like 2 or 3 years of the Western Conference, like these two teams should be going to the Cup, basically. Like they're always like Cup favorites.
Yeah. I'll probably want to catch some of these games. I've been very busy lately, but it is nice. But I think Stamkos said this a couple years ago in an interview. The NHL, the one through eight seeding, I think was way better in terms of matchups. So you have like, you know, hopefully the top seeds, if they do advance or there's an underdog knockoff, you do have the best matchups. But
yeah,
this year and also the last few years with the new divisional bracket they've been doing, where they don't reseed the teams. That's been, I think, just affecting the matchups. But whatever, I don't really care. I just want the Flyers to frickin' make it, man. Like. Please, they'll make it next year though, and then they'll have Seth Jones and he'll win, and then we're gonna win. That's my prediction, bold prediction. But it is weird to consider that we're right at the end of May. This is when you're listening to this. It's the last day of May, and this is usually when the Stanley Cup Finals are about to start or have already started. And here we are, just starting the second round.
Yeah, the next episode we get to talk about the draft lottery.
Ah, yes,
because
the draft lottery
like
is coming
Tuesday
up
Tuesday or something like that.
Yeah, that is coming up, and then we have nothing really else until we talk about expansion draft protection list coming out in about a month and a half. Man, it really is nothing that's really going on. Hockey's moving so slow because it didn't get started until January. Isn't that weird to think? Like middle of January, this season started like less than six months ago. It's just very strange to think about.
At least we get like a shorter off season.
Yeah, that is true, although the Flyers offseason has been going on for months, if you want to make that argument. But, you know, it's okay. C'est la vie when your team sucks.
And the Sixers are looking pretty nice right now.
Sixers are. They have a 2-0 lead over the Wizards. Not the Wizards, I'm sorry. The Wizards, right? Wizards?
Yes.
I watched some of the game last night, but wait a minute. No, it wasn't Atlanta. Stupid. I watched some. Atlanta was playing the other night against, who are they playing, the Celtics?
The Atlanta Hawks are playing the New York Knicks.
That's what it was. Sorry, I knew it was one of the teams. Whatever. I'm not a basketball guy. The shoot some hoops. Hit the J. See, I know the terms. I did turn on the Sixers game last night, though, and it was like already the third quarter, and they were just blowing out the Wizards, and I was like, damn.
Yeah.
They're going to bring Michael Jordan out of retirement again to help them out. It's the last time I watched basketball, like 2001.
Yeah. How did the Wizards make the playoffs if they're this bad?
They're the eighth seed. The NBA always has sub-500 teams make the playoffs.
Only in the East.
Oh, I know. They just look terrible.
The West.
Can we talk about how that dude spit on Trae Young?
No, I didn't see that, but I heard about it.
Yeah, apparently it happened around the same time that somebody dumped popcorn on that dude on the Wizards. So everybody just worried about the popcorn instead of the spitting incident.
Yeah, well, it's because it's Philly.
Oh, I know.
We all know the answer to that.
Yeah.
I love how it's like here's some other Philly incidents of popcorn. It was just a compilation of Gritty and the Fanatic pouring popcorn on people. And it was like, oh, see, it's just part of our culture. That's great.
Yeah, the NBA playoffs were weird this year. They had, like, play-in games.
Yeah.
Like, play-in series.
I heard about that.
So it was, like, 10. So technically 10 teams from each conference made the playoffs. And then it was, like, the 7th through 10th seed had games against each other. And then, I don't know, it was weird if like the 7th and 8th I think played each other and whoever won was automatically in, and then if you lost 2 you were out as a 7 or 8th seed, and I forget what the other way was.
All that pigtail matches in the wrestling world.
But yeah, it was, yeah. But I think it ended up being like I think the Grizzlies might have been like out of the playoffs as like a ninth seed and made it in. So that's,
don't they have a play-in for baseball now too with the wild card? Didn't they extend that?
Yeah, well, they have it with the NFL too.
Yeah, NFL now. They just did it last year or 2 years ago. They started that.
But yeah, I think baseball. Well, I don't know if baseball has the play-in yet. I know they were talking about adding like an extra.
Well, you know why
wild card thing?
Because our freaking phones have made sports gambling so much easier and more people will watch.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Baseball went to the wild card, I think, because
baseball is like some of the hardest playoffs to make. Like as it is right now, because you have a wild card series for like a game, a wild card playoff, and then it's basically like four teams.
Yeah, well, I'm going to a Phillies game next week for the first time in a couple of years. I'm looking forward to it, and then I'll see the old Citizens Bank Park. Looking forward to that. You know, going outside and like breathing the air, isn't it great? Do you guys go to a store with
your
mask on yet?
And safe from coronavirus.
I was at an open mic last week, and I walked in with my mask on, not realizing they already turned it off. And I was like, oh, shit, I don't have to wear this thing. I went to the store in Jersey this weekend. It's been great. Love breathing.
I went to a couple stores, and I was like, if everybody else is going to wear them, I'm not going to be that guy. And then, surprisingly, every store I went to, everybody still had them on.
Pussy. Got to take it off. Breathe in the air.
Yeah, stick to the main.
As Pink Floyd once said, as I wear the T-shirt, this is called Visual Joke on an Audio Podcast, Drew. That's my new character.
Walking around Target hyperventilating like SpongeBob meeting Kevin.
That's you meeting Kevin.
You meeting Kevin Hayes.
We're best friends.
Yeah.
You wish.
Got the inside track. I knew about his hip surgery before he knew about his hip surgery.
You did. You knew nothing. You know nothing.
Yeah, if you knew anything, you would already know about Nolan Patrick if you're best friends with Kevin
Hayes.
If
you were a political party of American history, you'd be a know-nothing, because that's what you do. You know nothing. It's called History Joke, Drew. All right, guys, I had enough characters for today. You guys got anything else to end with the show before we wrap this one up? Let everyone enjoy the rest of their cookout on Monday.
Tankathon.com. Refresh however many times you want to see if the Flyers get a top two or one pick.
Tankathon.com?
Yeah.
Ooh, I didn't know this website existed.
It'll take probably a billion tries, but it's worth the fun.
Arizona forfeited. Ha ha. Flyers got the second pick. They moved
up 12
first
spots. Try. Look at that.
Tankathon.com, we just threw the sim lottery, and San Jose gets the first pick, and the Flyers will get the second overall pick, which would be absolutely wonderful. But, you know, we know what's going to happen. New Jersey and New York are somehow going to get the top two picks again, and then we're just going to be like, oh, good, just keep building up our division and make it harder.
Yeah, before they institute that rule that you can only get the first overall pick, like, however many times.
It took me 16 refreshes, but the Flyers are the first pick overall.
Well, we're one take Tony over here, Jeff.
Yeah, I said the Flyers are down to 14, so I'm going to stop doing this before I put it out in the universe. But guys, I hope you guys have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend with your families and any families of those who have veterans, people that have lost their lives in American wars, fighting for our freedom. Thank them for their sacrifice by eating a bacon cheeseburger. And
remember,
your weird
freedom isn't free. It costs a hefty fucking fee.
Indeed. And also make sure if you are the drunk uncle that's lighting off fireworks, you do so safely. Don't be a Jason Pierre-Paul. And once again, if you guys are around the Philadelphia area Tuesday, June 1st, that's tomorrow, 8 p.m., Helium Comedy Club, I will be there performing, competing, and getting my stuff back out. I'm tired of doing this podcast, people. I got to branch out to the comedy world again. Just kidding. I'm still going to do the podcast. But guys, thank you so much for listening. Have a great rest of your week. We'll have some guests coming up soon to be announced. Go Flyers, I guess. Trade for Seth Jones. Go Sixers. Go Phillies. We'll see you guys next week.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky, Jeff, and Doyle. Available anywhere you get your podcasts. Check out BroadStreetBully.net for the latest episodes and daily content about the Philadelphia Flyers. Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at the BSB Podcast.
Yeah, da 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 da.